Thanks, Tobias. What are the rules here at North Church? If a new visitor were to come here today for the first time, what do you think they would immediately notice that the rest of us would just take for granted? Do you think a new visitor would find us to be a warm and welcoming church? Or do you think somebody might give them a hard time about sitting in the wrong pew? What do you think? I'd like to give everybody about 2 minutes to actually talk about this question with the people who are sitting around you. And if you're watching this service at the Mennonite home, you can try this exercise too. Share your thoughts with the people around you. What do you think a first-time visitor would notice about this church? I'll give you 2 minutes. All right, that was 2 minutes. I timed it. Well, I bet it probably felt a little bit strange to talk with your neighbor during a sermon time, right? You're used to having to sit quietly and listen during a sermon. And I'd say that is actually one of those unwritten rules about North Church right there. I remember a few years ago, me, Billy, and Natalia, we went visiting to a different church in Newmarket for the first time. And during that service, everything was dead quiet. You literally could have heard a pin drop. And then Natalia, who is just 2 years old, she starts chanting really loudly, really enthusiastically, and she goes, "Mama, Dada, Mama, Dada, Mama, Dada." And I felt like the whole place just turned around to stare at us. I don't know if they actually did, but it certainly felt that way. It was just pretty obvious that they were not used to having small kids in church. And so I took Natalia out and I went looking for some kind of nursery. I figured, well, there must be something in the back of the church. But that was super awkward because nobody showed me where it was. And after about 15 minutes of wandering around lost in the building, I finally found that it was in like an addition over, not even connected. I had to go outside and go around and go into the nursery there. Let's just say that was our family's first and last visit to that church. But I'd also say, even here at North Church, you know, we have our own kinds of rules. When I first started pastoring here, I'd always drive into the church parking lot and come in the first entry on the right, and just park in the first open spot that I found. Makes sense, right? First entry on the right. But every so often, I'd get a comment from somebody, something like, how come your car is always facing backwards? Now, for years, I thought that was just a joke. And then one day, somebody randomly, I just overheard somebody say to somebody else, not to me, but they said, oh, it's disrespectful when people park with the back of the car facing the church. And suddenly it clicked, and I realized, maybe people thought I'm being disrespectful. Have I been parking my car the wrong way all of these years? Well, my point is, churches are often places that feel like they have a lot of rules. Rules about what you can and can't do. Rules about what behavior is acceptable and what's not. And even rules that nobody says out loud, but you're just somehow supposed to magically know. And a lot of these rules aren't in the Bible. You know what, though? We're not alone in that. The early church we read about today in the book of Acts, they had this problem too. And they actually had a really, really strong unwritten rule in their church that everybody knew. Nobody said it out loud. And this rule was that the church is only open to people who are of a Jewish background. If you aren't Jewish, the Christian community isn't for you. Sorry. After all, Jesus and all of the apostles, they were all Jewish. But as the early church community expands, God decides to change up that rule. God chooses to open up the church to people from all sorts of different backgrounds, including the Gentiles, the people who aren't Jewish. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence in the Bible to argue that God includes the Gentiles right from the very beginning. But this is a big change to the Jewish Christians, and it's not an easy shift in thinking for them to make. Because they're used to believing that their own ethnic group are the only people who are chosen by God. It's a major paradigm shift for them to begin thinking of the Gentiles as being God's chosen people too. In our scripture reading today, we find Peter, the leader of Jesus' apostles, sharing with the Jewish church about how he's experienced God's Spirit moving even among the Gentiles. Peter tells him a story about how he's alone praying on the rooftop when God sends him a vision that completely transforms his way of thinking. Peter describes his vision to them, saying, there was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I replied, by no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time, the voice answered me from heaven, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And this sequence repeats itself three times. Interestingly, Peter immediately recognizes this vision as being from God. He doesn't question that at all. But what he does question are God's instructions. Peter's a good Jewish boy. It's been drilled into him since early childhood that some food is clean to eat or kosher, and some isn't. The rules of his faith tell him that he's not allowed to eat certain things like pigs or rabbits, or sea creatures without scales, like shrimp, and some kinds of birds. And these dietary laws have always been an important part of Peter's faith. No lobster dinners for him. In fact, it seems Peter prides himself on how carefully he's kept those rules. Remember, it was actually God who gave these kosher laws in the first place, and you can read them for yourself in Leviticus 11. Now just let me be careful to say that these kosher laws are not bad things. They're good commands of God. But that's exactly why Peter is so confused when God sends him this vision. Why is God messing up the rules that God actually put into place in the first place? Well, Peter doesn't get a clear answer why, but he does get a pretty strong sense of what this vision means, and it's not just about food and kosher laws. Peter knows that God is telling him that the Gentiles are supposed to be fully welcomed and fully included as important parts of the church. And Peter gets to put this revelation into practice pretty quickly, because three Gentile men come knocking at the door of the house where he's staying, asking to see him. And they invite Peter to come and visit with their friend Cornelius, a guy who's not just a Gentile, but a Roman military commander, kind of like the worst of the worst. But Cornelius has had his own encounter with God, and he's excited to hear Peter's story. And so Peter goes and he stays at Cornelius' house, sharing with him and his friends and his family about the story of Jesus. Even though Peter knows that doing that is breaking a lot of the rules in Leviticus, rules that until now he's always been super careful to abide by. It's a stretch for Peter, but at the end of the day, when he has to choose between following the leading of God's Holy Spirit or following the rules, he chooses to follow God, even though that means going in a new direction. Rumors spread fast in churches sometimes, and soon the Jewish church back in Jerusalem hears that Peter's breaking the rules. He's hanging out with Gentiles and even eating their shrimp. And so they confront Peter directly about their concerns, and he shares the whole story with them about the vision that he's received from God and how he was invited into a Gentile home to share the story of Jesus, and how this whole group of people has now accepted the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. Peter wraps it up with, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" To their credit, the Jewish Christians immediately believe Peter's story. They stop criticizing Peter, and they start praising God, affirming that God has indeed brought the Gentiles into the church. This marks the beginning of a major change in the development of Christianity. As more and more Gentiles choose to become followers of Jesus, the church becomes increasingly diverse, embracing many different ethnic groups, different genders, different socioeconomic classes. An Ethiopian eunuch, a black person who doesn't fit into the typical male-female gender binary, is baptized into the church. So is Lydia, a wealthy Gentile businesswoman, and Onesimus, a runaway slave. The demographic makeup of the church starts to look more and more like the demographics of the communities surrounding it, a rich tapestry of different colors, different backgrounds, different stories. So as we reflect back upon this scripture text, what can we learn for today? Well, for one thing, I think probably all of us who are here today are Gentiles. None of us would have been welcome in that very first early church back in Jerusalem, except that those first Jewish Christians made an intentional choice 2,000 years ago to follow the leading of God's Spirit and welcome us in. That would have been a really hard thing for them to do, because it would have meant changing their whole sense of identity, because they aren't the only ones who are God's chosen people anymore. God is choosing everybody. It makes me wonder, is that what we model today? Are we a church that welcomes people in, or are we a church that excludes? Or might we be both? What spoken and unspoken rules do we create that make it hard for people to connect in here? And are there ways that we can work on breaking those barriers down? Can we embrace our identity as children of God in the Anabaptist Mennonite faith tradition, while also being open to God's Spirit leading us in new ways, even ways that might stretch us? What if a young family parks their car the wrong way in the church parking lot? What if their kids are loud during the sermon? And what if, heaven forbid, they sit in my favorite pew? Are there some rules that our community has created over time that maybe aren't actually positive or helpful for us in making people feel welcome? This week, I invite you to think about and pray about that question. What are the ways that we can help everybody in this community, especially those of us who might be newer here, to really feel welcome, included, and loved? Maybe God might be calling us to park our cars backwards. Amen.